Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. It's open forum today. Second hour, Mark Brumley will be here for open forum. And before we get into all of that open-ish, forum-ish stuff, however, we have our good friend Tim Ryland from the wrong side of the building. There's two sides of the building here, the right side of the building and the wrong side of the building. And Tim's down on the wrong side of the building. But in all seriousness, Tim is the man who brings you this magazine, Catholic Answers Magazine. And we used to do a check-in with you.
Yes.
And it's been like 100 years since we did a check-in with you about what's in the magazine, why people should get the magazine.
You haven't axed me in a really long time, Si. I felt pretty bad about it.
Have you felt bad about it? Oh, man. And then I said you're on the wrong side of the building. This is horrible.
Yeah, I was letting that one go, but it becomes the right side of the building if you come in the back door.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that is correct. So we'll get to calls in a little bit. I just want to spend a little time chatting with Tim about the magazine. First of all, there's been a revolution in the magazine over the last 2 years.
Yes.
Tell us about the revolution at Catholic Answers Magazine.
Well, we after lots of thought and prayer, we had a newsletter for many years, a quarterly newsletter telling about the apostolate, which also worked as a fundraising tool as well. We got to thinking, why not wrap it into the magazine and just send it to everybody that supports us, that likes us, that has spent any money with us. Felt like it would do more apostolic good. Our subscriptions were down fairly low. We more than tripled them by doing that. It's been a little over a year, as you say, maybe about a year and a half. We still need support. We sent out the last magazine, kind of a one-shot deal. It said, please help save this magazine on the cover. You can't get a lot more direct than that.
Yeah, no, you can't. And I know that you are, and not just you, but the apostolate, but especially you, because it falls on you, committed to to making a magazine in print, because a lot of people,
very much so,
they just make the magazine online now. Right. They just went online with the magazine. It's not the same experience.
It's not, and we have a great online magazine. It's actually separate new content almost every day. So if you haven't checked out Catholic Answers Magazine online, you really need to bookmark that. But there's the latest edition. We just sent the next edition, the May-June issue, off 2 days ago to the printer, so that'll be in hand fairly soon. But thanks for having me. This is a big announcement I'm going to make here.
Oh, what?
We are now going quarterly as a magazine. We've been bi-monthly for many years. We were 10 issues a year until 2008. I don't know if people remember that, but the bottom kind of dropped out financially.
We went to 6 issues. Oh, I think people might remember 2008, Tim. I think that
I look at some of the faces around here, and I kind of...
Maybe not everybody in the booth, but... they were still watching Barney or whatever.
That's right.
What did you watch? What did you guys watch? What's that? Dora the Explorer. Oh, you were watching Dora the Explorer.
And I remember when Dora the Explorer went from 26
episodes
down to 12. So we're just following in.
Just as much exploring, but now in 12 episodes.
Well, she'd say no swiping. Well, we swiped the idea. So
We
are actually going to 4 issues per year starting in July. We're going to call it our summer edition. It's the July, August, September. We'll continue with November, December, or October, November, December. That will be our fall issue. But we are going to 4 a year. We hope that you'll enjoy it and look forward to it as much as you do now for 6 issues a year. But that's the announcement.
Oh, that's wonderful, because it'll still get to be substantial as it is.
Yes.
You'll draw on the same writers. This have the same quality of stuff.
And yes.
And that's the nice thing about a magazine is it can sit around. You
right.
can. This is something that, I don't know if you grew up in a house like this, but my parents intentionally got the magazines so that they would sit there on the coffee table. And when you were a bored little child or a bored teenager, eventually you would pick up that
National
one of those
Geographic.
Magazines. National Geographic.
Right? That was
yeah.
one of them in
right.
my family.
So I think we got Smithsonian, but then we got some Catholic magazines as well. So you'd end up, you know.
Yeah.
I still believe in reading.
I do too.
Do you? Like, I think reading is formative, not just informative.
I
think
I agree.
It forms the person to read.
There have been studies, recent studies, showing that the retention, you have a higher retention actually when you read off a page rather than off a screen.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't tell you the reason why, but there is scientific evidence to that. I love reading books and magazines. They're harder to read than they used to as my eyesight starts to fail a little, but still, yeah. I'd rather like lie in bed and kind of squint and read my book than try to read something off of a screen. So yeah. We're trying to keep that tradition going. Of course, our president, Chris Check, is a huge fan of the printed word. He's quite a Luddite at heart, if you know him.
Yeah, but I think he's right about that, actually.
Yeah,
I think we've done this huge experiment of putting everything onto a screen, and it's showing its value. I mean, it's done damage.
Yeah.
We're not as attentive. We're not as at peace or able to think a thought all the way through from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, I do think that's true. And again, scientific evidence, turn off your screens if you're having trouble sleeping. You know, you can read a book till you fall asleep, but apparently not that healthy to read a screen till you fall asleep. So
yeah.
There are lots of practical reasons, and there's just something, you know, we're a corporeal religion, right?
Right?
The body and blood of Christ are corporeal, real things. And I feel like a magazine is a real thing in a way that a digital breviary wouldn't be.
It's just not.
It's
just, yeah,
it's anyway, right. That's my prejudice, and I'm sticking by it.
But I don't think it. No, because it's a reasoned conclusion. I don't think it qualifies as a prejudice.
Oh, good.
You do have certain prejudices. I'd like to talk about.
Oh,
I know how your feelings about the Dutch, but. That's
you had to touch on that, didn't
that's
you?
That's a joke. It's not really. Never said a bad word about the Dutch. All right, so you'll go to 4 issues a year.
Yes.
It'll still be the other thing. Do you know, several times recently I've seen letters from people who are incarcerated.
Yes.
Who talk about the value of the magazine. And I don't even know what their access to screens is.
Right.
So they're delighted to get the magazine.
They are. In fact, quite a few of them don't have screens. I know our president, Chris, got a very long typewritten letter from a guy saying, you know, the typewriters aren't open very often, and I don't have any computers, so... typed out a very heartfelt thank you for all the work that we do and that affects them in prison. We do quite a bit, and it's always very heartwarming and kind of, I feel a little chagrined, you know, here at Catholic Answers, we actually get a free copy of everything that if we want it, that we produce. So I always get my free copy, and I think, I got a shelf full of these things. I need to read them. They would devour them.
In prison or jail, or wherever they are.
At some point, I'm going to box them up and get them. I have a good friend that does prison ministry here, so.
That's very, very good.
Yeah.
Do we still send the magazine to seminarians if
they
ask
indeed.
For it?
Yeah, we
and
do
what does
indeed.
A seminarian pay for it? I'm sure they pray for it, but what do they pay for?
They pay absolutely nothing. Just let us know. Just let us know that name and address, and we'll get it to them. So. Hundreds of seminarians receive that, and as Chris always says, hopefully, you know, future priests and hopefully future bishops and cardinals are being formed by the magazine. A lot of people are enjoying, we did fold our newsletter into the magazine in the beginning just to let people know about the apostolate, the people that work here, and trying to, you know, we all feel like family, and we hope that our supporters feel the same way.
So, you know something? I've learned so much about my fellow
right?
employees. Like, I read these things where they do these interviews with people, and certainly the new people, like Michelle.
Yeah.
I think you did Michelle and Claire.
Yes.
And I was like, man, there's no way I would have ever known half this stuff about them.
You know, what's so funny is that our webmaster just had a baby, and, you know, he's quite busy with his family, and I wanted to put in the magazine, and I sent it to him, and he went, and on the same page, he goes, what? Zach's married and Thomas is engaged? I got to know a little bit more about what's going on day to day. So
yeah, well, all right. But the main thing then is it's continues with the high quality. It's got a little bit more of a personal touch with it. It's still got my favorite part. You know my favorite part, right?
It was the last word that you did last month.
No, no, that's not my favorite part. My favorite part is these things.
Quick questions.
I love these quick questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am one of those weird people. I don't know. I was a kid, I read magazines from back to front.
Yeah.
And apparently I share that trait with...
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
That's kind of weird.
No. I said let's not have him on, and you're all like, you know, let's have Tim Ryan.
You know, the Dutch read from the back to the front.
That's
one of my problems with him.
Okay, so what is this? What is this nonsense? Why do you do this? There's a picture of me doing kung fu. Is that what that is? What is that? I don't even know when that.
I'm not quite sure that.
Stop
that
would, doing those things.
That would have to be, you'd have to take Donna in marketing to task for that one.
Well, I will, but I'm way scareder of her. Is scareder a word than
aren't
I am
we,
of you?
We all.
Okay, so, but then the key thing I have not gotten to then yet. All right, Tim, I'm listening to you. It sounds like a wonderful magazine. I would like this around the house for my teenage kids or when my adult kids visit or for myself. Or how do I get this magnificent wow. apologetics magazine, Catholic Answers Magazine, the magazine of apologetics and evangelization?
So you can get it for free.
I can?
You just have to go to our website, catholic.com, or you can call our lovely women in customer service. I'm sorry, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but easy to get to and easy to get. Or go buy a book. For heaven's sakes, we have hundreds of wonderful books on our shop site. So buy a book and sign up for the magazine.
I forgot that. If you buy a book from us, you can become, you're a subscriber to the magazine.
Yep.
You just get on the list and you get the magazine.
Right.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I want to give out the phone number that people can call because it's not right for you to come on here, yeah. not even know the phone number to give out.
I wanted to give you something
and
to
I'm,
say.
I'm going slow because I'm waiting for them to type it in for me so that I will remember it. But no one's typing it in for me. You all know what I'm doing, right? I'm waiting for someone to type in. Go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. You can go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com or you could pick up the phone right now and call 844. Is this really right? That doesn't look like the right number. I've never seen that phone number before. What number am I giving out? Is this the police station of Sydney, Australia? That's correct? Okay. 619-387-7200. 619-387-7200. Call and sign up for Catholic Answers Magazine. It's one of the best magazines in the world. It's certainly the best magazine of apologetics in the world. And it still comes in your mailbox. You get the joy of actual beautiful object in your hands. Tim Ryland, the maker, the creator, the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine, thank you for coming in and sharing this time with us.
You bet. Or 2 Timothy, I'm called here in the
Second Timothy
building.
I'm
2 Timothy, and of course we know the First Timothy.
I want to say goodbye to you in Dutch, but I don't actually know how they say Guten Tag. It's probably Guten Tag. All right, we'll take a quick break. Right back, Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now, Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo. Tonight, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. That was our good friend, 2 Timothy, Tim Ryland, recently married, beautiful wedding, wonderful bride, and just a great couple. And you really should get the magazine. CatholicAnswersMagazine.com is where you can get it. CatholicAnswersMagazine.com or just call 619-387-7200. 619-387-7200. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. Usually we do an open forum in this hour. And I said we're going to do open forum. Mark Brumley will be here second hour and we'll do an open forum. But there's something I've been wanting to do for a while and do a kind of reverse, turn it back on you as the caller. And you are welcome to call and share. I want to talk about how things are going, how you are feeling about the state of the church and the state of the world, because I know that people have concerns. Also, the things that we get calls, people want to express things, and we don't really usually do that. So you are welcome to do that this hour. Are there things you want to talk about? We've got questions about the contemporary church. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Whether you're Catholic or not, you are welcome to call. I am joined in studio now by our president, Chris Check. Dog breeder extraordinaire and president of Catholic Answers. A breeder of
Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. You know, it's Jackie does the breeding.
Yeah, but this is something about, I mean, you have all these interesting things about you, but one of the things that you always tell people is that husbands and wives should have an endeavor that they work together on. And it's all right if it's the wife's endeavor, but you work together on it. Isn't that a belief that you have?
It's by the way, a belief that has been part of the human identity since the very beginning.
Yeah, right, that's right.
And was disrupted by the Industrial Revolution. So we tend to think of the household nowadays, or the home. Let's just think of a modern home. Even in the best definition we can come up, husband and wife married to each other, kids, and they're doing their best to raise them. But in large part, the home represents what? A mortgage on a sphere of consumption. Right.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's what
I see what you're saying. That's just a purely economic.
As far as economics are concerned, what's being done there is consuming, but there's no production. There's no production going on.
Right.
Now the parents are engaged in a common endeavor, and that is the formation of the children.
Children. Yeah.
Right. But dad goes off to work, and more frequently, mom goes off to work. But this is historically new.
This is not the way humans have lived. I'm really happy to have you remind me of that.
No,
we often forget we live in this moment in history that is really not the way people have been designed to live.
No, and I, you know, I really give credit to one of my mentors from before when I came to Catholic Answers, for whom I worked with many years, a Lutheran, in fact, named Alan Carlson. In fact, I think he's probably been on the show.
He's probably
the finest historian of the family alive today. I'm sure he is.
And this is you learned from him?
He has an excellent book. You mentioned Mark Brumley. I don't know if Ignatius Press still has it in print, but I recommend it to everyone. It's called From Cottage to Workstation. And the point that Alan makes is that throughout all of human history, the home was not merely a place where children were raised, though it was that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also a place where economic activity occurred, that is production, where production occurred. So the means of production were owned by the husband and the wife. And so what are we talking about? Farms, small shops,
candle makers.
Yeah, coopers or whatever it is.
Barrel makers.
Yeah, or coopers.
Either one. You can be a barrel maker.
Smiths.
Cooper. Take up it.
Things of this nature. Now, I mean, I know some people are thinking, well, that's very romantic in a modern economy. That doesn't really function. But what did happen long before the sexual revolution did its job on the relationship between the spouses, the Industrial Revolution attacked the family. And what it did is it first brought fathers out of the home. And then eventually it brought women out of the home. And in fact, it was the Industrial Revolution by design or by in the mind of its designers or captains of industry were particularly interested in the labor of women. And the reason why is because they could be paid less. They tended to have nimble fingers, right, for factory work. And they tended to be relatively docile or obedient.
Yeah.
So in any case, first men and then women get pulled out of the home. And the home becomes, like I said, a mortgage on a sphere of consumption.
Right.
All this is by way of getting back to, yes, it is true. Jackie and I operate a kennel. I mean, one of the differences between, you know, the pre-industrial home economy and the Czech house is that people actually made money on their enterprises.
Not quite doing that.
I don't know. This year we might. Who knows? But apart from the sustaining of the family life or the sustaining of the home that this common enterprise provided for. What it also did, and this is something that I think very few people think about when they think about marriage today, is it bound the spouses.
Yes.
So spouses are bound in the rearing of children, but this becomes especially important at that moment where you and I are approaching. Now, I don't know how old your youngest is.
Oh, my youngest is 24.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So my youngest is 19. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, he's at Franciscan right now. He's effectively out of the house. And whatever good or harm that we've done to Nicholas, Alex, John Paul, and Nathaniel, you know, is done.
It's over.
It's done.
Yeah.
So,
right.
While we share our kids in common, what we really need is something else. And it's a common enterprise. Now, Jackie's been doing the dog since for 15 years, or family's been doing the kennel for over 15 years. But I am acutely aware of this. It's what I knew in theory from, you know, the time that I spent as a colleague of Alan Carlson's. I'm now experientially aware of it in how the daily operation of a little show kennel that raises, you know, toy spaniels binds Jackie and me now in 32 years of marriage. I think 32 this May.
Well, congratulations on that. But that's a wonderful insight. Yeah. So much of the pressure in the home on the home has been to push the spouses away, push them away from the children, from the home, and from each other.
Yeah, by you know, what we laud as free markets. You know?
Right. Right.
Often a lot of harm is done to the marriage. So I'm grateful for it, and we happen to both enjoy it. Jackie is the expert. There are things about doggy genetics. I always tell her it's doggy eugenics. I mean, you're trying to create.
Is, yeah.
You're trying to create a perfect spaniel.
Right.
By the way, there's no such thing.
As the perfect spaniel, spaniel. There's not a platonic spaniel.
But I mean, there are what are called standards of the breed, and you're trying to get as close to them as you can. It's involved.
Yeah.
And she understands all this work, and I'm sort of the unpaid kennel help, but on the PR side of Top Meadow Kennel.
Are you good for you? That's what. Yeah.
You know what? I go to our website. TopMeadowCavaliers.com. I've written all the blog posts.
Have you? Oh, I'm gonna have to check that out.
I even brought Linda Ronstadt into one of them.
You did, really?
Yeah.
One of the greatest singer of the 1970s.
I'm quite an admirer of her work.
Oh, she's just wonderful. All right, look, the number is 888-318-7884. You always tell us you want to get on the air and talk about the condition of the church, or you want to share something about your sense of it. So now is your opportunity, 888-318-7884. Maybe you have a question about the current condition of the church. Maybe you have a question about what the future holds. We're not prophets. We can't look into the future. We just want to have the discussion. And sometimes it actually settles the heart to have these discussions. So you're welcome to call with whatever your concern, your question is, your thought about the current state of the church. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. You know, my wife has a furniture business.
And interior design.
Yeah, but
right?
She's not doing the interior design stuff anymore. She said...
And she managed rentals for a time, right?
Yeah, but she said interior design is working with people. Furniture is working with furniture.
Oh, and I can see how the latter would be preferable.
Yeah, there's a lot to be preferred in just working with the furniture. So, but I've often taken to heart your idea that there should be this shared endeavor in the home. So when I'm invited to participate, I try to participate, and it is a shared endeavor.
So
I
carry the swatches?
I do a lot of carrying, yes. Or like, you know, sometimes she has to go a long distance to pick up a piece of furniture and says, you want to come and help me? And
describe your garage to me, Si.
It's indescribable. I can't believe that a garage can be in the condition that my garage is in.
And hold as much as it's holding.
It's ridiculous. The merchandise moves, but I know there are things towards the bottom that have never moved. They got in there. And there's no one knows about them. I think my wife has forgotten about them. I'm pretty sure, but it's extraordinary piles of
future furniture.
Yeah, someone else's delight is buried in there.
Yeah,
and she just hasn't found the customer for it yet. But it's in there.
I encourage our listeners, our married listeners, however long you've been married, or if you're going to get married, it's fun to watch a movie together.
Yeah.
Or even read a book to each other. That's even better. But if you are engaged in some kind of common enterprise, maybe it's just the vegetable garden or something.
Yeah.
Which
is productive. At least
right.
You're producing something together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do feel that with our kids out. It's good to have something that we do together.
Because you incarnate, as Christopher Dawson says, you incarnate yourself in that work.
Well, you have to explain that to me. I don't know exactly what that means.
There's a beautiful essay by Christopher Dawson in his Dynamics of World History, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but he's contrasting Catholic understanding of economics with sort of the bourgeois understanding of economics. And he says the bourgeois doesn't really care how he's making money. It's fine works of art or cheap ready-made suits. To him, it's just the profit.
Right.
It doesn't matter. But he says the craftsman who makes a chair or a desk or whatever it is, or, you know, a piece of interior design furniture.
Yeah.
Incarnates himself in the work. So I think this is true with Jackie Spaniels. She incarnates herself in the kennel.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife does that in Shaker Tables.
There you go.
888-318-7884. Chris is going to stay with us. You want to talk about the state of the church, the state of the world? We'd love to talk about it with you.
Or Spaniels.
Yeah, or Spaniels. 888-318-7884.
This year, the Catholic Answers Conference turns its attention to the question of God in an age of unbelief. Join us September 21st through 24th in San Diego for I Believe in God, featuring very special guest Scott Hahn and an all-star lineup of speakers. Spend 4 fun days with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. Seats are still available, but going fast. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 and register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
A little bit of groovy music for you on a Friday. Usually we do just open forum, but it's kind of a open to anything today, free for all. You're welcome to call with whatever you want to talk about.
That's another common family enterprise in the Czech House.
Oh, that's right. That's your boys.
The Dead Century.
Yeah.
You know, that's John Paul and Nicholas, two of the boys in that band.
One of their fine. I really like the
sometimes
the song
they
about
do make
the,
they do make money. Sometimes
do they actually make money at it? Good for them.
They have day jobs.
but the song that they have about the Salton Sea, Bombay Beach. I like that one. 888-318-7884. You want to talk about what's going on in the church these days? You got something that's a bee in your bonnet? You just want to talk about it, get it out? We thought we'd do that for a little while. Barbara in South Louisiana, we will start with you listening on Christ Our King Radio. So glad to hear that name of that radio station. And Barbara, nice to have you. Go ahead. What did you call us about?
Okay, thank you. I'm so glad I got this opportunity because it's been bugging me.
Okay.
There's so little comment. There's no commentary, in fact, from the pulpit about EWTN, about Bible in a Year, about The Chosen, all the wonderful messages on YouTube with Bishop Barron. There's so much that's out there that can help people explain what's going on. Just explain the gospel for the coming weekend, and know that that's an opportunity for them to use. You hear nothing from the pulpit about that. And this is what Bible in a Year has been out for three years or so. And I've never heard word one.
Our cardinal talked about EWTN a little bit, but
in Spain.
I didn't know that's the direction you were going to go. That is a very good question. And I honestly will tell you what I think is up, but Chris will have to say more about this. I think there is a sense of division in the church. And if you say something about, it's hard for me to imagine this because I think the journey home is just one of the greatest things in media. But so say the priest goes up and mentions, hey, you really should watch The Journey Home. This is it's so informative. It'll help build up your faith. It'll give you hope. Watch something like The Journey. I think the priest is worried. He gets to the back of the church and someone goes, how can you promote that? I think there's such a sense of division that there might be a fear of talking about some of these things.
I also think, Barbara, this is one of those things that we want to be careful before we make too broad or sweeping a statement, because I know, for example, at my parish here, my territorial parish, Our Lady of Grace in El Cajon here in East County, San Diego, that the current pastor and the pastor before him were both promoters of, for example, the videos of Father Mike Schmitz. Before Father Mike Schmitz was doing what he was doing, our friends at the Augustine Institute with the Formed platform, and every single Sunday there was in the bulletin, if you wanted a free pass to the Formed platform, and Catholic Answers had stuff on there, or content on there, I should say, that was free to members of the parish. So I think it really is a question of from pastor to pastor almost, and your pastor might very well be receptive to your saying to him, Father, there are now more than ever in the history of the church many first-rate resources prepared by clergy and laity alike. I mean, especially laity. Most of the people doing this in this space of apologetics and evangelization in the post-conciliar church are laymen, and it may be that he's very busy. It hasn't occurred to him to make mention of this. It's possible he's hostile. But I think mostly it's just there's some other distraction, and he might be grateful. Oh yeah, would you write that up for the bulletin? Another thing, Barbara, by the way, is in the wake of COVID, it's striking how God turns. It's a theological truth. God takes bad things and out of them draws good things. Out of COVID, there has been a great deal more regular email communication between parishes and their registered flock. I think of Flock Notes, but there are other platforms. And I know the one that comes from Our Lady of Grace here in El Cajon to the members of the parish includes stuff from Catholic Answers. It includes stuff from Father Mike Schmitz. It includes stuff from EWTN. There is more opportunity here for now. And it may simply be that pastor's looking for somebody to manage that communication. And
what do you think, Barbara? What do you think of those answers?
Well, I'm thrilled for that parish. It's wonderful.
But mine's not the only one.
I have a large family. No, okay. Well, I come from a large family, so we're always going all over Southwest Louisiana with communion and First Communion and Grandparents' Day and all the different things going to different families, churches. And so I would say that I'm exposed to quite a few different places. And I'll talk to people. When I was working, I would ask, "Do you know about?" Nobody knew about any of this stuff. But my plan was to go and put in some little notices about the Bible of the Year, the Catechism of the Year in local church bulletins, buy a little space and put something in there to see if that would at least get some word out.
You know, Barbara, let me recommend to you, and God bless you for your interest in evangelizing in this way, because you are fulfilling your obligation as a confirmed Catholic when you do that. Let me recommend to you that you contact our friends at Ascension Press directly and say, hey, listen, I would like to volunteer to help promote the great work of Father Mike Schmitz and the work of Ascension Press within my diocese. What do you recommend? I'm sure the good people of Ascension Press have heard this, by the way, founded by Matt Pinto, former Catholic Answers employee.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've heard this question before, and they probably have some specific ideas about ways that you can help spread that word. So, way to take a problem, which you do recognize and which we recognize as well, and see how you can be part of the solution. God bless you.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you very, very much. It does seem like there's a kind of a scattering of the gifts that the church has right now. She has all these gifts at her disposal, and not everywhere are those gifts being marshaled for the greatest effect. And maybe that's always the case, but I am sympathetic to your view that we really could do much better. I mean, you just think of what's going on in Catholic education or in Catholic medicine, in Catholic media, and somehow we still are all chopped up into, you know, individual efforts rather than feeling like a united and maybe this is something that should have been brought up on the Synod and Synodality. I know I didn't think of it, but. Anyways, thanks, Barbara. Let's go to Walt. We're talking about whatever you want to talk about. 888-318-7884. You got concerns on your mind about the life of the church today? We'd love to talk about them with you. 888-318-7884. Walt in Downington, Pennsylvania, listening on the EWTN app. I want to do some kind of pun about Downton Abbey, but I couldn't come up with anything, Walt. Sorry. Probably that's to your benefit. What do you got on your mind, Walt?
Actually, Downingtown, but nonetheless.
Downingtown.
Yeah, there's all this talk about Eucharistic revival and how the bishops are going to really get people involved. Gestures make a big difference. If people are walking in line, receiving Jesus, it's my opinion, receiving Jesus in the hand, like they're receiving a cookie in a chow line, that's not very reverent. And then there's a priest distributing Holy Communion, an extraordinary minister, about 10 feet away, and they just walk right by the Lord and don't recognize or make a recognition to the fact that he's present in that ciboria as well.
Yes.
And if you have that kind of casualness about the whole thing, no wonder people don't believe.
Okay.
And then the priests get really routine, say, Body Christ, Body Christ, Body Christ, Body, and the extraordinary ministers, Body Christ, Body Christ.
Well,
it just.
I hear what you're saying. I'm interested in. I'm going to let you go first on this one because I got something I want to share on this.
Well, I mean, I'm generally sympathetic to this objection. I believe that extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion are used. Are used more frequently than they need to be, according to, in fact, what the church intends with the establishment of that particular office. I think the absence of, and in some cases, removal of altar rails has contributed to a lack of reverence and subsequent lack of belief. I believe that the design of churches, the architecture of churches, many of which are banal and not a small number of which are just out and out ugly, do not reinforce a sense of mystery and reverence. I believe all of these things are true. And I'm sympathetic to the argument.
Me too.
I think that what we need to do is think about what it is that we are able to do in those circumstances. Again, if there's an opportunity for us in our parish to contribute to liturgical reverence, then we should look for something like that in the conversations that we have, making them not so much hostile in tone, but reinforcing the magnificent, infinite mystery of the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, and of course not losing heart, because this is not about to change right away.
This is one of the, I think I feel quite free about criticizing popes. So you people have to excuse me. I feel that way about. I mean, the other day I was criticizing a saint pope on the air, but I think this is one of the great missed opportunities of Pope Francis's papacy, and I don't understand it because he talks about it, but and I'm not talking about the kind of the Latin Mass, all that stuff, but. He talks about we need more Eucharistic reverence, but I just have not seen a consistent leadership on this. So I wish we would have seen more consistent, because it does make a difference. I agree with you. This makes a vast difference in the way people experience and live the faith. The celebration of the sacraments does, in fact, matter. But I wanted to tell this. I was at this parish the other day doing a talk a few weeks ago, and went to Mass before the talk, and in this parish, they had kneelers where you could kneel to receive the Eucharist. And it was at every, you know, they had three different stations where people could receive the Eucharist, and they each one had a kneeler. You were not expected to kneel. You weren't commanded or told to, but it was an option. And I said something to the priests. I said, you know, I had never seen that before, and I really appreciate it. I thought it was beautiful. He said, that wasn't me. That was the laity. The people said, we want to have kneelers, and his decision was just to put them there so that people could if they wanted. And he said it started about maybe 20% of the parish knelt to receive the Eucharist. And he said over months and years of this, it's probably 60 or 70% that kneel to receive the Eucharist.
Well, go laity. Here's another one. If we're concerned about a lack of belief in the real presence, approach your pastor at the right time, you know, not right after Mass on a Sunday, but make an appointment to go see him and say, I would like to organize adoration once a week at the parish, 24 hours of adoration, and I will make sure that I'll captain the thing. I'll make sure there's people there so our Lord will not be left alone. And let's get that going at least once a week. And,
wonderful. Yeah.
And the graces that we'll obtain as a consequence of that are just magnificent to think about. And in time, you'll have a perpetual adoration chapel 24/7 at your parish. So that's another one. Can I tell a Eucharistic Extraordinary Minister of Holy Communion story? It was in fact at our Lady of Grace. I saw the Extraordinary Minister of Holy Communion stop what she was doing and chase down a gentleman who had not consumed the host.
Oh yeah,
and she said, "Consume that."
Oh, she did.
Yeah,
good for her.
And so I know the lady who trains them at our Lady of Grace, and I said, "Good for you."
Yeah, yeah.
I frankly think we use them at Our Lady of Grace when we don't need to, but it's a big parish and there's one priest, but I still was impressed to see, wow, that all she was doing.
She did exactly what she's supposed to do.
Yeah,
she definitely did exactly what she's supposed to do. All right, Walt, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. More calls, but we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Doing us a little bit something different today, and taking your calls on what's on your mind as far as the life of the church. Going to Kansas right now, Central Kansas. Karen, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Karen, what's on your mind?
A couple of points I wanted to bring up was that I find disheartening are, one is that I hear a lot in the media about organized religion, and it's not going to be here, and you know, people talk about one of these days there will be, you know, no churches or anything like that, and if you think that way, there won't be. But also we have some people, and I think this is kind of a common thing too, people that don't agree with what the priest says in terms of what the church teaches, and so they leave or go elsewhere or whatever, listening to the world, you know, wanting it in a different format, not wanting to hear the truth and things like that. I think about the church in Japan, where for how many hundreds of years they had no priests, but when they finally brought some back and they were able to stay alive, that they found a lot of Catholics still there. And I just think you have to keep praying, you have to keep, you know, but also your priest, I didn't really listen before, but the priest that we've had now for several years, he speaks the truth, and he's actually why my faith has, increased my involvement. The one lady was talking about not promoting or not talking about things, he's one that actually told us, you know, to listen to Formed and to Catholic Answers and things like that.
Oh, he's definitely a good priest.
Yeah, he's got a very head set.
I approve
straight
of that priest. Karen, I want Chris to comment because we are short on time.
Karen, I commend you for your candor and your understanding that we live in a dark time. We absolutely do. In the United States here, it's not as dark as it is, for example, in Nigeria and the Sudan, where the church is aggressively persecuted.
Nicaragua.
And that's the other one, Nicaragua, right here in our own hemisphere, in a sort of a historical trajectory that seems to be, or political trajectory that seems very much to be tracking with Mexico 100 years ago. So might those kinds of persecutions come to the United States in time? I think we're seeing soft persecutions already. The legislature of Delaware is trying to pass a law requiring priests to violate the seal of the confessional, for example. Some of these things are coming north of the Rio Grande. But as you say, we have to remain constant and faithful. We have our Lord's promise that the gates of hell will not prevail, but we don't exactly know what that looks like. And it could be very, very dark, but that's when martyrs are made.
Karen, I want to say thank you very much. There's more callers that want to get on, and we are short of time. But hang on, because we're going to continue with these conversations. We may even hold you over for Mark Brumley. I do want to welcome into the studio now Todd Aglialoro, the Director of Publishing here at Catholic Answers. And Todd, we got some very sad news today.
Yes, it was yesterday that we learned about the unexpected death of Dr. Kevin Vost, who's a longtime friend of the apostolate, contributor, author, and a personal friend as well.
And recently had a book with us.
The last couple of months.
Yeah, we had him on the show.
He published his book. In fact, it's given me occasion for thought. The last book of his that we published is called What is God? Yeah. And it was based on the thought of St. Thomas Aquinas. And it's pleasing to think that on the other side of the veil now, Kevin is not pondering that question through signs, but experiencing the reality.
Yeah. I want to commend Todd. He has a beautiful tribute to Dr. Vost on our blog, Indulgences, at Catholic.com. And it's just a really lovely personal reflection on the good work that he's done and the friendship that you and fraternity that you feel for him. But absolutely first-rate guy. And, of course, the shock of this is compounded by the fact he's a young guy, 62 years old.
Not just young, but famous for his fitness.
Right. Weightlifter.
A weightlifter. He threw the caber toss.
Scottish Highland Games
he did
guy.
The Highland Games. Yeah. Some of his recent books were about diet and fitness, so he was really careful about what he put into his body, and so he was the last guy that you think would go before his time, which makes it all sadder for us.
Memorizing things was a big part of his.
He was the world's, I think this is fair to say, foremost. Evangelist for and enthusiast for what was called the method of loci, and it's a mnemonic method by which you take the data you want to memorize, a Bible verse or the list of popes in the 20th century, whatever it may be, and you associate each datum with a location in a mental house. So you picture your own home or you picture your parish, and you say, well, here's the living room sofa and here's the kitchen sink. And you populate those spaces with the data, which you then associate with images that make you think of that thing. It sounds incredibly complicated.
Actually, there's a book about that.
Well, we have our own book. So I've been privileged to have worked with Kevin on many books over his career. And one of those that he did for us that utilizes this method is called Memorize the Reasons,
yep.
In which he applies apologetics data. So this or that biblical proof text or this or that proof of God's existence of St. Thomas, and then applies the memory method to it. And it really is incredibly effective for something that seems so eccentric at first.
And Dr. Vost himself is an example of the, you know, this whole contemporary, this new apologetics movement that Carl Keating was at the very, very forefront of. It brought us and brought to the fore some really extraordinary people who made a tremendous contribution, not always a contribution that maybe was welcomed in every circle of the of the church, but a real genuine contribution in the case of Dr. Vost, extraordinary charity, explaining and defending the faith.
Yeah, perhaps it was his charity in part that makes you not think of him as an apologist, because apologetics often makes us think first of polemics and being argumentative.
Right.
And he probably would have called himself first, a lover of the Lord and a scholar and a Thomist. But he was a convert from atheism, and he wrote about his conversion and I think inspired many by it. And just his ardent defense of the faith and his patient and simple and winning approach to making it understandable certainly marks him as one of the giants of that movement that you're referring to.
Well, I really enjoyed having him on the show, and most recently to talk about the book What is God, which I loved. I thought that book was just wonderful. And yeah. It comes from a question that Thomas Aquinas, I guess, asked
as
when he
child.
Was like 5 years old or something. And I was like, where's the juice? Thomas Aquinas is like, what is God? And then it's just a beautiful book. And then what do you call that at the end where he lists kind of the qualities of God at the end of the book? I don't know what that's called, but I just found it so moving. It was just beautiful what he did.
Yeah, because he's made his career, among other things, as perhaps the foremost popularizer of the thought of St. Thomas on a really baseline level.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's maybe the best example of that work of his.
Well, I'll ask our listeners, please pray for Dr. Kevin Vost and for his family. And also a prayer of thanksgiving would be in order for an extraordinary life and many extraordinary gifts given to us, not least among them that book, What is God? Thanks very much, Todd, for coming in and talking about them.
Sure thing.
You can go to Catholic Answers online magazine online to read what Todd had wrote about, or what Todd, I didn't mean to say had wrote, what Todd wrote about Dr. Vos. It really is beautiful.
So
I know, I got scared there for a second. Chris, thank you for coming in.
Oh, for sure, Si.
All right, we'll continue our conversations. You can share what's on your mind or ask a question. Mark Brumley joins us momentarily on Catholic Answers Live.